This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview WWE Hell in a Cell. So Jake, Hell in a Cell is Sunday, and you know I'm excited for this show. I am. I'm breaking out my jersey. I'm doing that little skip dance around the room, practicing that hand thing Shane McMahon does that I can't quite get right. How great is this show going to be?
Just on that match alone, I think this will win your heart over very quickly. But honestly, you know, I think there's a lot to be concerned about when it comes to Hell in a Cell and how some of these matches are going to come across, because they've had quite a few of them already on television not that long ago. And you know, obviously Jinder and Nakamura was on the previous pay-per-view. So I don't know. I think you're really looking at a two-match show here. I think you're really counting on Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon to carry a lot of the weight. And I think the tag team championship match is going to have to carry a lot of weight, because there's a lot of other matches on this show that just don't generate a lot of excitement for me.
So I have to say, the good thing WWE has done going into this, we've complained a lot. Oh, good. The first rematch for the WWE Championship. Now it's got to be in Hell in a Cell. This is dumb. They didn't go that route. They said, nah. We're going to give you two long-running feuds, even if they aren't, for our top title. So, Jake, let's go through the undercard for the show quickly, because I think we can speed through this one pretty easily. Gable and Benjamin versus Hype Bros. Give me your one-word reaction to this pre-show match.
Blah.
Yeah.
Gable and Benjamin win, and then nobody will remember it the next day.
Exactly. Rude versus Ziggler. We've seen Dolph Ziggler making a bunch of entrances.
Yeah, I think Rude wins this one. I don't know what the long-term plan is for Ziggler, because his character seems to have been engineered simply to get Bobby Roode over. And I don't know what his contract status is. I know he may have one coming up soon based on some of his subtweeting that he's been doing recently. But
he doesn't appear subtweeting.
Yeah, this doesn't appear to be a character that is around for the long haul. So Rude is probably going over here, and where Ziggler goes or what he does is up in the air.
I'm with you on Rude going over. Natalya versus Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Do you think this match can be good?
Yeah, I think they had a fantastic match together in NXT. Whether or not they can recapture some of that magic, that's sort of up in the air. You know, I think one of the benefits that they've had in NXT and that we've talked about before is that they generally have a lot of opportunity to go through these matches ahead of time, and they're heavily scripted, and that was one of those. And so, you know, can they use the experience they've gained between then and now to make, you know, a match on the main roster sing like that one did? I think that's up in the air. But I do think that they're both capable of having quality matches, and they've both had them in the past. So I'm hopeful that the match quality will be good. I'm going to pick Charlotte to go over here, because I think they want to tell that story right now at this point, and they have more heel opponents for her lined up than they do babyface opponents for Natalya. So I think that's the way this is going to go down. And they also have, you know, the briefcase to deal with at some point too.
I like the idea of Charlotte going over, especially because of how it sets up the briefcase. And I hope you're right in that this will be along that quality of their NXT match. I just think every time they've had a match since that NXT match, it's been, I know Jason has said it a lot, like, these two can do it. They've had a great match in NXT. Yeah, but that was, you know, 3 years ago, and they haven't had a great match together since, which is really depressing. But they can. They are capable. And I hope that this proves just how capable they are, and that they are able to put together something awesome. AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin for the United States Championship. Is this Corbin finally getting that title off of Styles, so we can see Styles do something important again?
I really hope so. I mean, they managed to intertwine Dillinger into this story so much that I almost think that he'll end up getting involved here somehow, You know,
I was wondering about a Dillinger heel turn somehow in this.
I don't know if it'll be a heel turn. I mean, you could be right. I don't know. But it seems like, you know, they're setting him up for some level of interference, whether it's a surprise heel turn or whether he's going to try to intervene to right some wrong of Corbin cheating during the match, and it'll end up backfiring. I do think the end result is Corbin winning the championship and, you know, just moving on from, you know, from Styles holding it, because they, you know, they don't seem to want to capitalize on the opportunity of the open challenge as Styles threw out there. And it seems like we're getting close enough now to, you know, to the major points of the year where they need to start moving Styles back into that main event picture.
Especially if they want to do Styles against Nakamura at WrestleMania, which is kind of the rumor. So yeah, I'm going to pick Corbin to win, and I like your idea of Dillinger kind of getting caught in the middle. Can Orton versus Rusev be as mercifully short as it was at SummerSlam?
I don't know. The way this show looks to be on paper, I think we're going to get a longer match. I don't think it'll be, you know, one of those 15-minute Orton headlock fests, but I think you could see them get 10 or something along those lines. I mean, I don't expect you know, Orton to win here, actually. I'm assuming we're going to see Aiden English get involved and possibly, you know, Rusev and English pull one over on Orton here, just because I don't see this feud necessarily ending at Hell in a Cell. But yeah, I think we're going to get, you know, 5-10 minutes from these guys.
Yeah, and I think it could be fun. I've actually really enjoyed the Rusev and Aiden English stuff. It has been far more than I ever thought Aiden English would get to do on the WWE main roster, and it's been really fun. So, yeah, I think Orton beats Rusev here, and that's what we get. Is this Shinsuke Nakamura's night to win the WWE Championship?
That's a great question. The way that they used him on SmackDown, where he went out there and they had him repeat some really lame lines like sticks and stones and whatnot.
That guy knows cliches.
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody had to sit down and write that and think, oh man, he's just going to nail this line or something. Cause I mean, there's really no way that anybody thought that was good. And, I mean, just the way that they've shied away from giving him any time on the microphone to establish a character. There's been no video packages. The entire build to this match was essentially Jinder Mahal cutting either borderline or up, you know, or blatantly racist promos about Nakamura for 3 weeks. And so, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't feel like it's time to pull the trigger on Nakamura, and they've lost some confidence in him based on his inability to progress as quickly as they wanted on the microphone. And so I'm going to predict Mahal to retain. I don't think Nakamura is at a point where they think he's ready for a championship.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to me that anyone would choose to go with Jinder Mahal over Shinsuke Nakamura, but I think that's where WWE is, even though I think it's crazy ill-advised. Like, it still seems like the dumbest thing in the world to me not to just, hey, have Jinder drop it to Shinsuke and just let Shinsuke be Shinsuke. Like, let him do the things that people want him to do. Let him be the popular guy and let him be the megastar having great main event matches at your big shows. And I don't know that they're ready to do that. I'm going to pick Shinsuke to win. I think just because I want it. Like, this is literally me just picking what I want, even though I don't think it'll happen. How's that for hedging?
I think that's perfectly fine. I mean, I would love it if he won too. I just, the way that they have portrayed him on television tells me that they don't really get what he's good at and, you know, why they would have brought him in the first place. It's you know, one of those Vince things where it's clear that, you know, NXT had a much better handle on what made Shinsuke cool than Vince does.
Make sure to check out ProWrestling.net on Sunday night for coverage of the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view featuring Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens in Hell in a Cell and the Usos against New Day in Hell in a Cell. For ad-free coverage of that show, plus a members' exclusive audio review from Jake Barnett and Jason Powell, make sure to sign up for ProWrestling.net membership. For $7.50 a month or $5.50 if you take the annual option, you can get ad-free access to the site and all of our audio reviews, plus our full archive. Find out more at ProWrestling.net. Let's talk now about the two Hell in a Cell matches. New Day versus the Usos. This match is going to be fire. I'm excited to see these two tag matches, these two tag teams get a Hell in a Cell match. I'm excited to just see WWE do something different with the Cell. And this is probably the first Hell in a Cell match I've been excited about at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in years.
Yeah, this is, I mean, going to be legit great. I have no question in my mind about that. I mean, their previous matches, whether they were, you know, on the main show or on the pre-show, have been, you know, best of the night contenders each time. And I think their feud has been one of the better booked ones on television. I mean, I haven't been a huge fan of the hot potato title situation, but I think the roster in the SmackDown tag division has been so limited that they have just had to continue this feud as long as possible. But I think they've had some great promo battles. I think they're some of the best characters on the entire show. I think the Usos have showed a ton of charisma, and the New Day always have. And so this is going to be great. I think they're both, you know, ready to give a crazy performance on Sunday, just to show that the tag division is, you know, where it's at. They're going to need to find new people, you know, to compete with them. But both of these teams,
that is a problem.
Both of these teams deserve to have, you know, the match that puts them on the map. You know, this could be, you know, their sort of kind of crowning achievement, their WrestleMania, because I don't think they're going to get back to this feud in time, you know, or anytime soon, so that they could have this type of match on a major show.
Yeah. I don't know that they will get this much time again. I don't know that they will get this kind of build again, either of those teams in their existence. But this is super exciting to see. I think the Usos win here, because looking at the SmackDown tag division, there's not that much to it. And I think the Usos against Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin could be your best tag feud coming out of this, your best way to get through a couple months while they build up new contenders.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as weird as it sounds, I think the New Day might actually be better off taking a break from the tag division on SmackDown and having Big E and Kofi and Xavier compete over, like, the U.S. title or something along those lines. Like, they don't have to disband as a unit, obviously, because I think they're still quite a bit of money to be made on their merch, and they have great promos, but I think they could use them in a more versatile way rather than just leaving all of them in the tag division all the time.
Yeah. And I think that would be a great thing to do with the New Day, with who they are. They are a tag team that can do a lot outside of the tag division in WWE. I think could use that, especially on SmackDown. Now moving on to the big one. The most exciting match that I think we're going to see this year. Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, Hell in a Cell. Is this going to be everything I dream it can be?
Well, I mean, based on the promo they cut, you know, last night, it's fairly obvious, you know, with the Falls Count Anywhere stipulation being added, that this thing is not staying in the cage.
No, it's going everywhere.
It's going to be all over the arena. It's going to be on top of the cage. It's going to be, you know, wherever. It's going to be madness from start to finish. And I think the question really is, how much risk are they willing to let these guys take on a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view versus a major one? And I think that will sort of determine how crazy this thing gets. I really hope we don't see more Shane falling off of things, because I think
you
that
shut
was...
that mouth right now. I hope Shane falls off of the arena.
Yeah, I think he may fall off of something, but I hope it's not the Cell structure again, because it just seemed gratuitous last time.
It's also done, but I think they're going to tease the hell out of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And we were in the building for the last one. I mean, it was craziness, but I just don't know how necessary it is to make this match seem high impact and, you know, vicious, because they've managed to do that with this feud already without even getting in the ring together. And so I think they can manage to not throw Shane McMahon off of things 30 feet off the ground, but maybe 10 feet will suffice this time.
Yeah, and I think that this match is going to be more of kind of a walk and brawl type of situation. It's not going to be built around one big spot, but I think a bunch of spots, you're probably going to get something akin to Shane being taken out and having, you know, fighting from the back or something like that to go after Owens again. I think you're going to get those super Shane moments that we've all come to know and love, and they're going to be awesome. I'm really, really looking forward to this because I look at Shane and I go, you do a few things really well. I'm semi-realistic about Shane McMahon, believe it or not, everyone. And I know he is not a perfect professional wrestler. He is not the ideal professional wrestler, but he does some stuff really well, like falling. Like, I think he does the valiant guy going out there and trying to, you know, who's overmatched, but he just wants to keep fighting. I think he does that well, and I think there are certain moments that you can break that out, and this feud has been built perfectly to break it out.
Did you see the new skill Shane obtained last night?
Which one?
Well, they went back, you know, they went into the concessions area, and Shane got powerbombed through a table, and then he had to, like, limp back to the ring through the stands.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, halfway through walking down the stairs, I think a woman noticed that she was on camera or something and just started twerking in the aisle, and he had to walk past her and no sell it the entire time.
That's actually, I didn't notice her, and now I have to go back and watch this. Distracted by Shane still being buttoned up in his vest as he was walking back, because I was like, dude, I'd get rid of that vest right away. Like, if I'm in pain, like, the tight constricting clothing is the first thing to go.
You should send that tip to Roman Reigns then as well. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to know if Shane's going to wear a vest for the match too. I strongly doubt it, but still. Who do you think wins this? What is the end? Is it Shane McMahon just somehow manages to fight through Kevin Owens and beat him? Or is it the vicious Kevin Owens takes out Shane McMahon and moves on to the WWE Championship scene on SmackDown? Which, might I add, would be cause for a Shinsuke Nakamura title win, if you know, because Owens versus Jinder Mahal would not be good.
Yeah, that would be pretty terrible, now that you say that. So, and they could definitely have Owens do all the talking if that's the direction that they wanted to go. But I think Owens does win. I think Shane will beat enough respect into him that that he'll come out of this looking like he, you know, he earned it. But I don't think having him win is the right call for SmackDown overall. I think the purpose of this was to really cement Kevin Owens as a next level heel. And I don't think you can do that having Shane McMahon beat him in a Hell in a Cell match, false count anywhere situation. So Owens will win, but I think Shane will do enough on offense that people don't come away from it thinking he got completely destroyed.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. I think you're going to get that valiant Shane performance again, but I hope you're right. It wouldn't shock me to see Shane win. I don't think it would wreck anything for Kevin Owens if Shane were to win. I think people would complain about it a lot, not realizing that Shane McMahon is a gift to all of us on this planet, and we should be thankful that he exists. But
do you think Sammy gets involved by any chance?
I think Sammy might take a big bump in this. They've included him so much in the feud. They've got the falls count anywhere. We're going out of the cage thing already going. I think this match, you might see Sammy try and get between Owens and Shane at some point, and Sammy get wrecked in the process, just to give the match a little more movement and a little more, I would say a little more kind of bigness to it. Bigness is
so. Does this wrong. Distraction of Sami Zayn allow Shane to get the win, and then Owens is able to just direct his anger at Sammy and move away from Shane? I guess that's kind of my theory. If they want to go with a Shane victory, that may be the way that they pull it off.
I like to think 20% of Kevin Owens' anger is always directed at Sami Zayn.
It's like the Eye of Sauron, just portions of it are always aimed at Sami Zayn.
Exactly. But I think that actually might be a way to make that happen, a way to make it so Owens does lose. I like the idea of Owens winning more and Owens ending up going after the WWE Championship, simply because I think SmackDown needs to get its, they need to get its top stars on top. SmackDown, obviously, right now is the Kevin Owens show. It is built around Kevin Owens. It is all about what he does. They need to get him on top. Enough of this Jinder Mahal BS. Like, they need their top guys in their top matches instead of making the championship a sideshow, which is what it's been since Randy Orton won it at WrestleMania. The championship has been that thing off to the side no one really cares about because, man, we've got AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura not in that picture. Well, now let's put them in that picture. Let's get top guys in the top matches, and let's put Jinder Mahal down and see how he survives sans title in the mid-card and see if you can make something out of him finally.
I'm not going to argue with you. I would love to see that happen. I don't know what their plans are.
Argue with me.
I don't know what the long-term plans are for the world championship. I think it's time to move away from Jinder. I would literally take almost anyone at this point, aside from maybe Randy Orton again, holding that championship. But, whether it's AJ or Nakamura or Owens, I think it would be a huge benefit to SmackDown at that point, because it would feel like they could make it the focal point of the show again.
Yeah, I think they could use that. I think tossing the title up along with those guys would be really, really strong. But, we'll see what happens. They have they definitely have their waves there on SmackDown of ruining good things and making hot acts not as hot. But I hope Kevin Owens wins. I hope Shinsuke Nakamura wins. And I hope that is our main feud on SmackDown going into the winter.
Hey, I'm all for it.
And on that note, Jake, I just have to ask you one more thing. What's making you happy in wrestling this week?
I'm going to have to say the way that Kevin Owens has been completely built at this point as a monster heel. I think it's rare for WWE to show heels in a light where they're actually dominating and inspire fear in opponents rather than sort of the chicken shit heel types who run away and are completely cowardly 100% of the time. And so I'm all for a more complex version of a heel and something different than WWE ordinarily produces. So that made me pretty happy.
Yeah, I'm all about that idea of a complex heel. I think Kevin Owens' character is just something else. The thing making me happy right now, it's Shane McMahon. He's going to fall off of something. He's going to do something real dumb, and it's going to be great. I know I shouldn't. Like, it's someone putting their body on the line who shouldn't have to. I should not like this. Everything in me should hate this. But, Jake, I just love Shane McMahon so much.
You'll have to video yourself doing the Shane dance during his entrance on Sunday and post it for members. That'd be fantastic.
That's a good idea. Oh man, I think that would be the end of me on the site somehow. I'd just get embarrassed and leave. That's it. We're done here.
Fair enough.
All right. And with that, everyone, listen to Jake and Jason talk about the show after the fact on Sunday. And yeah, enjoy Hell in a Cell. It's going to be real, real fun. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.